Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
I know your name is Rita, 'cause your perfume is smelling sweet. Since when I saw you down on the floor.
Thought I've heard it all here on The Rita Cosby Show, but this is incredible. An Illinois judge has ruled that illegal migrants can have gun rights. You heard it right. I thought in the Constitution that it was essentially just made for Americans. And remember that this administration has been fighting tooth and nail on the Second Amendment in some cases. And yet this Illinois judge who was appointed by Barack Obama, this judge said that a migrant who essentially had a gun and they took it away saying it was illegal. Well, this judge said, no, it's OK for this individual to have a gun, saying that if you go back into like the 1776 era and all that other stuff in American history, that some British loyalists who were good to America were able to carry guns. So it's like going back to the 1700s. Somehow they are rewriting the Constitution. And now, even though they're going after many legal Americans for guns, saying they should get rid of their guns, they're now saying that this illegal migrant, and this could set a precedent, that this migrant has the right to have a gun. Boy, I have heard everything. And of course, this comes as so much is happening at our southern border. Today, Texas Governor Abbott defended why Texas is really stepping up and why they are saying that they have to protect the border because the federal government just isn't. Listen to what he recited as the reasons why Texas wants to take the law into their own hands, because he said they cannot depend on President Biden.
How many terrorists are roaming the United States of America as we speak? The answer is no one knows. However, you know what FBI Director Wray said last week? He says that based upon what's happened at our southern border, he expects there to be a terroristic attack similar to 9/11. You cannot have the number of people coming across the border who are terrorists and not expect anything different. Also, these rumors that you've heard about Venezuela letting dangerous criminals out of prison to come to America, they're true. And the same thing is true of countries in Central and South America and across the globe, and as well as the number of Chinese that are coming here. And who knows what their intent is when they come here. Because of that, and because Joe Biden is very simply not following the law of the United States of America. You'll remember just a couple of weeks ago, he was telling all of you and all of his fellow Americans that he needed Congress to pass some laws in order for him to have the ability to secure the border. Either A, he was just outright lying to you. B, he had no idea what he was talking about. Or C, all of the above. I think it's all of the above.
I think it's all of the above, too. And now, by the way, Governor Ron DeSantis says that he is going to send Haitian migrants because they're worried about a big surge of Haitian migrants coming. Of course, the country right now has been overrun there in Haiti, and it's not too far from the U.S. coastline, Florida's coastline, taken over by gangs. And so he says he's going to send Haitian migrants to Martha's Vineyard, just like he did with the illegal migrants that crossed the border. Remember a while ago, he sent that whole like busload there, remember, to Martha's Vineyard? And they went crazy. They were there for like 24 hours, I think it was. And the residents there, including Barack Obama lives there, remember, everybody? They went crazy. They were like, oh, no. Absolutely not. We can't have them here. Nobody opened their doors, essentially, for the migrants last time. And so Ron DeSantis says he's going to do it again. He says, quote, we have our transportation system, and that's going to be operational. And we will plan to send them, if they come to the Florida Keys, the next stop very well may be Martha's Vineyard. Wow, wow, wow. Well, speaking of all the problems that are happening around the world, there's also a lot of problems on the streets of major cities already. We don't need to import people that have criminal records. And until we can vet who are the good ones, who are the bad ones, we have to be able to check it. We have to be able to secure our homeland. And cases in terms of crimes have been rising. If you see some of the headlines in New York, all over the place. There was a big one just recently that happened on the Long Island Railroad where somebody had their face slashed with a box cutter. Really scary. A commuter suddenly, in the middle of a fight. There was another one who was trying to break up a fight. This is happening every single day. We also heard about that case. Remember the one that happened on the subway where they actually, one guy was able to wrestle out the gun from the other guy and shoots him. Luckily, in that case, the DA in that case said, yeah, it was self-defense. But in the middle of all this, there's still the case of Daniel Penny, the former Marine. And just a few hours ago, guys, he got a date for trial, and the date has been set as October 8th. And they are expected, obviously, they will have jury selection. He is fighting manslaughter charges for putting Jordan Neely in a chokehold. And remember the case, it was last May, where Jordan Neely was screaming on the train. There are people that said that they heard him say, who wants to die today? Who's going to get killed? Takes off some of his clothes, throwing them, shouting, threatening people. And people were really scared. And this is a guy who's had some history of drugs and everything else. And Daniel Penny, the Marine who was there, said, I have to step in and take this guy down because he's about to kill somebody. And there were a lot of people on the train who said, thank goodness Daniel Penny was there. And then he gets charged. His case is not self-defense, according to the DA in that case. How can that be? The other guy gets the gun away from him, shoots the other guy, and he gets declared to be in self-defense. I agree. He absolutely was self-defense. So that's correct. But the fact that Daniel Penny is not being considered self-defense, that is not correct. That is a disgrace to the justice system. And today, the attorney for the family of Jordan Neely, that's the homeless man who was going crazy on the train and who was taken out. And yes, it's tragic. The guy died after he was in the chokehold. Prosecutors say that Daniel Penny had him in a chokehold. There were other people that were helping Daniel Penny because a lot of people on the train were scared. He was there and apparently he lost consciousness. And Daniel Penny was saying, hey, call 911. Let's get this guy arrested. It didn't look like he realized that he might have even played a role in the guy's death. So there's a lot of questions here. But why is that not self-defense also, helping other people on the train? Just because he didn't have a gun pointed right at his head, the other guy was lucky that he was able to get the gun from the shooter. That's rare. Most of the time, sadly, the shooter wins. So what, are you supposed to wait until you get shot? And then that self-defense? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, we have come to a really bad place in the world, especially there were eyewitnesses there. So here is the attorney for Jordan Neely's family, and this is what he said after he left court today, and after he found out that the case for Daniel Penny, the court date is October 8th. Listen to what he said.
Today we came to court and the judge told us that on October 8th there will be a trial in this case. Justice has not been served yet, but we're expecting, we're holding on to the belief that justice will be done in this case. On October 8th, the trial will start, and we expect and hope that it'll give you a view into what Daniel Penny really was that day. He was the dangerous one. On that day, Daniel Penny was judge, jury, and executioner. And we're expecting that when this trial starts, he will be facing a judge, a jury, and a sentence. That's what justice looks like.
Is that what justice looks like? Or should Daniel Penny walk free? As many people believe, I believe, if you hear what other people were saying on the train, and you could bet on that jury, there will be people who've been on the subway. And yeah, they'll try to say, well, you know what? This is what he was doing. This is what things can change in an instant. And if somebody is there threatening people, saying, you know, who wants to die, who wants to be killed, that's a pretty scary thing. And that is what some of the reports say were said by Jordan Neely that day. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Steve, line one. Steve, your thoughts about all this and also border two. Go ahead.
Hey, Rita, I just want to tell you one thing real quick. You look at the border and what they do. They look at the border, what they do, and what they did to this country. But you turn around and look how they're fighting Texas right now for all the information, the court rulings and everything else. This is what they want. Schumer wants it. Nadler wants it. When you see Schumer talking about the Jews and going against Israel, he went to against Israel for one reason. He wants that Palestinian vote to keep them in power. These people are ruthless. You look at Donald Trump, everything they're saying against him. Donald Trump, for the 3-4 years that he was in office, has never hurt this country. He was a blood 100% the American people. Me and you go to China right now. We cross that border on a visa, and we stay over 5 days. They'll cut our heads off. It's a shame what they're doing. And you look at that Mr. Penny. It's ridiculous that they're even charging that man. They're only charging him because it's a white-black issue, and it benefits them. It benefits their vote, and they're trying to separate this country and make us all against one another. And it's sad what these Democrats are doing. That Schumer, what he did with Israel, against Israel, I hope every Jewish American out there votes against him and votes that piece of garbage out of office.
Well, I'll tell you, I was very surprised what Schumer said about Israel, Steve, because you're right. It was unconscionable. And here he is, the highest elected Jewish American politician ever in American history in terms of being elected. When you look at it, that is stunning. And he absolutely talked to President Biden before he made those comments about Israel, because even Biden admitted that he did that. So you know that that is absolutely the case. Let's real quick go to Mike, line two. Mike, your thoughts.
Yes, Rita, so good to talk to you. In regards to Daniel Penny, like the previous caller had just said, if that had been a black Marine, black on black crime, there'd be no charges. Simple as that. Alvin Bragg, it's white on black. He's going to prosecute that Marine. That's what it's about. Simple as
now,
that.
Now, do you think he'll get off when it goes before a jury in New York? You know, normally I would say the deck is stacked against him. Like if you look at all the Trump stuff that's happened. But I would say in this case, anybody who has been on a New York City subway would be able to relate to the fear that people felt when that guy was screaming and shouting and throwing things and saying a lot of very threatening things, according to other passengers. I think if you go in the mindset of that, you would give him the benefit of the doubt. What do you think? Real quick, Mike.
I'm not so sure. It depends on the makeup of the jury, to be honest with you. I got to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I agree. I'd have probably more women than men, I think, on the jury. What about you?
I agree with that. Yes, more women for sure. It's wait and see. I pray for this young man.
Yeah.
Because his intent was not to kill that guy. And I hope he gets off. I truly do.
I do, too. I hope he gets off because I think he was absolutely trying to protect everybody on that subway car. And the fact that he is now going through this and now there is a trial date, charges still existing. And we've seen so many of these other subway crimes in the meantime. It just reinforces how dangerous the subways are. And I agree with you. I think Daniel Penny should be no charges. He should be getting a medal as opposed to a charge. 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. And you're listening to The Rita Cosby Show.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen New Bridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen New Bridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
This is the Rita Cosby Show.
Well, her name is Rita, not Rio, but I love Duran Duran, so I won't say anything about that. I love them. But boy, speaking of names, I cannot believe the swiping that Biden is taking on Trump. It's because he's bleeding with Latino voters. He's bleeding with all voters. And listen to what he said about President Trump. Just because President Trump wants to secure the border and protect the homeland, here's what he told some supporters last night. Here's President Biden.
This guy despises Latinos. I understand Latino values. You know, we just celebrated St. Patrick's Day. I hope you're not offended by my saying this, but, you know, the thing about the Irish who came here, they're about family, about faith, about decency.
Yes.
And that's exactly what Latino community is all about.
That is disgusting that Trump despises the Latino community. Shameful, shameful, shameful. Let's go to Norm. Line one. Norm, your reaction.
Oh, my reaction. Actually, I wanted to talk to you about the guns. Can I add that, Rita?
Yeah, because by the way, the guns, for people just tuning in, is that this Illinois judge said that an illegal migrant is okay to have a gun, which right. I thought that's only reserved for Americans. Come on.
Right. All right, Rita, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but I'm pretty sure the founding fathers did not want foreign invaders to be armed. In the Second Amendment, the right of the people to keep and bear arms is for the people. I interpret that as citizens, not invaders, and invaders don't belong here, period. Finally, as a Benefactor Life NRA member, I'm fairly certain this historical primary gun rights organization in this country holds that position, too.
Yeah, I agree, Norm. Well said, my friend. I agree. Let's go to JC in Pennsylvania. JC.
Hello.
Hey, JC, you're here. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Come good. On. Good. I hear the little doggy, but go ahead, JC.
Yeah, so a couple of things here. The first thing is, obviously, the Marine is only getting... He's only getting charged because he's a white Marine and they're playing the race card. There's no doubt about it. And who's challenging Neely's family with the propaganda that they're spreading?
Yeah, that's a great point, JC. You know, you're right. There is a lot of spin. And remember, they had the protests and all that stuff. It will probably be a messy scene outside the courthouse with protests on all sides.
Cosby is on.
you are hearing screaming, it could be President Trump, who is trying to figure out how he's going to pay the $454 million judgment from New York. And who could forget that throughout this whole process, it could very well mean, there are reports tonight that he might have to give up Trump Tower. I mean, that is crazy that he might have to hand over Trump Tower as an asset. It may get seized. Right now, these guarantors only want cash. And no matter how rich you are, it's not like you're walking around with $454 million. We're talking about justice in America. And doesn't that seem exorbitant? And then you have the New York Attorney General who campaigned on getting Trump. Take a listen.
Rise up and resist this man.
When he leaves office as a private citizen, he will no longer have presidential immunity.
Can we actually get him?
The New York Attorney General has joined the Manhattan District Attorney.
Days of this Governor president are numbered.
Claims that you campaigned on a get Trump agenda.
And we will rise up together and we will resist this president. Bring him down.
Stay tuned.
That is called one big campaign ad. And today, the ladies of The View seem absolutely gleeful that Trump might have to hand over one of his properties as an asset to put there on hold while he's appealing. How does that seem like justice, that he has to give up X amount of money pending appeal? I mean, it should be everything's frozen, nothing happens, you can appeal. And then if you keep losing, then maybe at some point they take your assets. Not while you're trying to appeal what looks like an absolutely exorbitant verdict. But here is the ladies of The View, very gleeful.
The reason people will not lend him money is because he is notorious for stiffing people that work for him. In 2016, when the Taj Mahal just devolved and just
who loses
was
money
destroyed.
On a casino?
You know, you know why he lost the money? Because he had three casinos together, two to three casinos. His actuary, the accountants, told him they will cannibalize each other. He did it anyway.
Yeah, he's a
and
hog.
Then 100 contractors were not paid because of it, and they lost their homes, they lost their businesses, they lost their livelihood. This happened in 2016. There is no way anybody is going to lend money to him, and I can't wait to see the chains on Trump Tower, actually, on Fifth Avenue. I'm, like, kind of excited about it.
That sure sounds like slap happy that somebody who would have to hand over close to $500 million on this case, where they're talking about inflating assets and there was no victim, and in fact, the banks made money on them. I mean, how does that seem fair? It doesn't. And here's Trump's attorney, Alina Haba.
Well, our argument in front of the appellate division is that forcing him to sell prized properties such as Trump Tower, iconic properties like 40 Wall Street, to pursue his appeal is manifest injustice, and it deprives him of that due process that we are all entitled to. So imagine you can't reverse selling off Trump Tower on a fire sale at a discounted price. We can't fix that if we win on an appeal. So it's complete injustice. And only a handful of sureties, as we stated, are approved by the United States Department of Treasury to even underwrite bonds of this size. So of those, even those very limited handful amounts, they're limited to policies with even single bonds up to maybe $100 million. None of them accept hard assets. They require cash or cash equivalents, such as marketable securities. The ask of Judge Engoron is completely ridiculous. He knew that. Or if he didn't know that, then he should have educated himself on it. But it is intentionally to interfere in the election, to hurt President Trump, to try and ruin his company and ruin a person and a family whose private company, not public company, has made the skyline of New York changed forever and made so many jobs, created jobs, taxes to New York. It's a disgrace.
It is a disgrace. And speaking of disgrace, today was a big hearing on Capitol Hill. This was the hearing on interference in terms of what maybe Biden has done with his business assets. And these are what they say is a lot of commingling with Hunter Biden and a whole bunch more. $24 million foreign wires going to various Biden family members. Hunter Biden said he couldn't wait to appear. And guess what? He was a no-show today. And think about the double standards of justice. Peter Navarro, who was a close Trump aide, he had to go to prison yesterday. He is now serving a four-month sentence at this time for not appearing before a congressional committee. But what happens with Hunter? He gets a pass. Remember, he said he was going to appear the other time. He didn't show up. Then another time, he sort of surprises them. And then he goes behind closed doors. He said he was ready to do a public appearance, and he didn't show up today. They just kept the empty seat with his little name tag there. But some of his business associates did, including Tony Bobulinski. He was sort of the original whistleblower, if you will. And this guy is a credible guy, former naval officer, legitimate business guy. He's been waiting 4 years for this moment. And he goes there before the committee today. And boy, was it a one-sided experience. AOC was asking him, hey, where's the crime? Where's the crime? And he's like, RICO, foreign influence lobbying. There's a whole bunch of them, right? And Jim Jordan asked Tony Bobulinski the question a lot of us have been wondering, who's the big guy? Listen to this exchange.
The ranking member just said that Joe Biden was opposed to corruption. Really? So opposed, he leveraged $1 billion of American tax money to fire the prosecutor in Ukraine who was investigating Zolochevsky at Burisma, the company Hunter Biden sat on the board of. Wow. And the prosecutor who replaced Shokin, that Mr. Parnas referenced in his opening statement, Mr. Lutsenko, guess what he did? He took Zolochevsky off the wanted list and dropped the charges. Wow, he's really, really opposed to corruption there. Mr. Bobulinski, who's the big guy?
Joe Biden.
Are you sure about that? Because when...
Joe Biden.
You're sure?
I'm 1,000% sure.
Because when Hunter Biden did his deposition under oath, he said, I don't know who it is, even though he was copied on an email that said H will hold 10% for the big guy. You sure it's the big guy is Joe Biden?
1,000%. And there's other text messages that back that up, that the brave whistleblowers, Shapley and Ziegler, have produced, not from my phones, not from my BlackBerry that I took screenshots from. They took them from subpoenas directly from Apple's iCloud that back up the fact that Hunter knew the big guy was Joe Biden.
The big guy is the brand. The big guy is the lift. The big guy is the one who showed up at golf outings, who did took phone calls and meetings and lunches and dinners with Hunter Biden and his business associates. Is that right?
Correct.
And remember, Joe Biden has so far said, I never met any of Hunter's business associates. I never asked him. He just happened to be on planes with me going to China and elsewhere, but I never asked him. And money just suddenly appeared. It was a loan. I don't know what it's for. I know nothing. And there's pictures of him with it. It just looks so bad. And here is Bobulinski saying the Biden family, well, they're basically liars.
You're presented here today with two narratives in this investigation. A false one being pushed by Joe Biden, a serial liar and fabulous, now under this impeachment investigation for public corruption. His brother, Jim Biden, a 75-year-old man who can't keep his lies straight, including under oath. And his son, Hunter Biden, a chronic drug addict facing two indictments with 12 counts. You also have before you the truth, confirmed by multiple Biden family business partners over many years and backed up by mountains of irrefutable evidence, including text messages, emails, documents, recordings.
And he says there is lots of evidence there. So where's the justice? Do you think they're actually going to go after Hunter Biden, find him in contempt of Congress for not appearing today, for defying? Are they going to put him behind bars for 4 months, like Peter Navarro, who is now sitting behind bars at this time in Florida? Talk about two different systems of justice. And where is this going to go with the impeachment? And what's going to happen to Trump come Monday if he doesn't get the bond posted? Are they going to start taking his assets? I think Letitia James will. She's already telegraphed that she will. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Steve, line two. Steve, your thoughts about all this.
Yes. Regarding Trump, we first have to talk about Schumer and the Democrats. There's an old saying that once you sell your soul, the rest is a piece of cake. What they never follow that saying up with is you can never regain your soul. And we shouldn't be surprised that Trump is being a victim of Joe Biden and so forth, because they've lost their soul. Chuck Schumer's father, for example, was an exterminator. And I think that Chuck himself switched from four-legged creatures to two-legged creatures. But here's the good news. I think that all of this has only made Trump the underdog, amazingly. And America has always loved the underdog, whether it was in a ball game or a political race. And so no matter what, he's going to feel a lot like Teflon. This is going to roll off his back until the election day.
Do you think he'll be able to, I guess, push all this off? Look, if they take one of his properties, that's not good news, you know, if they hold it. There's word he might even have to say he's going bankrupt is looking at money for donors. Either way, it has put him in a squeeze. There's no question.
No question he's in a squeeze. But, you know, there's going to be so many people. You notice the groundswell of support that's developing for him. And amongst them, there will be people that they're going to be inspired what they feel is individual leadership and courage. The people opposed to him with the Trump derangement syndrome are not included here. But those that are seeing his sense will come rallying. And who knows, maybe if they take his property away, maybe when he becomes president, there'll be moves to buy back the property for him. Behind the scenes.
By the way, I think so. There's going to be something. I can't imagine that they would allow this. There's got to be something. You can bet that Letitia James would love that image of her, like, with a key, trying to open Trump Tower or 40 Wall Street or one of his other iconic properties. But it just seems insane at the extent that she is going. And it seems like it is all about politics, politics. Let's go to Judith in Brooklyn. Judith, your thoughts.
Hi, Rita. You know, I want to get back to the Daniel Penny thing.
Sure.
Two things. How long is it acceptable to hold an aggressor down in an enclosed traveling subway train who's threatening everyone? How long? Because they're saying the reason they want to prosecute because he kept him down too long. So how long is it acceptable, for crying out loud, when you're in that kind of scenario? They're being ridiculous. Also, why didn't the medical examiner release the autopsy findings? That was requested by, I think, Thomas Kenneth, and they've never released that. I'm just curious to find out what they found out as far as an autopsy examination of this person, because it could be he was just full of drugs and God knows what, and who knows. And also, Daniel Penny, he stepped up to the plate, Rita. He protected defenseless, fearful subway riders, but people who have body parts found in their freezers, they go scot-free, okay? Does that make any sense to you?
It sure doesn't. And, you know, you're asking a good question, too, about that autopsy, because I always wondered about that, too. And there was a history of drugs in Jordan Neely of doing drugs in the past. So it'll be interesting to see. I know for the longest time, the last time I talked with the attorney who represents Daniel Penny, he said he still had not gotten it yet. And it was like months after the fact. It doesn't take that long. So I'm curious if he does know it now. I haven't heard it. I believe he still has not gotten it, which to me raises a lot of questions. What's in there? And that makes me think that there was something damning in there if indeed he has not received it yet. And you're right about all of this stuff. It smells, it stinks, and there has to be fair justice for all of this. And Daniel Penny, by his actions, from what we've heard from other people, when he was holding him down, he was like, call the police, call the police. He was trying to restrain him. There were other people helping him. So clearly other people thought this guy was a threat. And witnesses came forward. There's a woman who came forward. She spoke to the New York Post and said she really felt like this guy was going to start killing people on the train, that he was shouting, threatening. She was worried for her safety, for others' safety. Thank God for Daniel Penny. So that's the message there. And the fact that he is still dealing with this is shocking. And I agree with you. There's something that really stinks to high heaven about that autopsy. And we'll try to get to the bottom of that. Judah, thank you very, very much. And now to our support, our heroes.
The Rita Cosby Show presents Support Our Heroes.
And this is the Tunnel to Towers Foundation Support Our Heroes segment with a powerful story from Bloomington, Minnesota, where U.S. Army veteran Roger Blessem was selected to go on the trip of a lifetime on an honor flight to Washington, D.C. It's going to take place in May to see national monuments and the changing of the guard at Arlington National Cemetery. He's going to go with more than 180 other participants to see the monuments, to see the cemetery, and then come back to the Twin Cities the same day. A little history about him. He began basic training in Arkansas. He was eventually deployed to Fort Gordon in Georgia for signal school, and then he was assigned to the 7th Signal Battalion in Germany. He then served in Vietnam until he was discharged again in 1968. By the way, while serving in Vietnam, his wife moved to Bloomington, Minnesota to be closer to her family. And then upon his second discharge, he joined her there in Minnesota and then worked as an independent insurance agent and also helped many different people in the military professions through the years. By the way, he also was on a council that approved the development of that massive mall there in the Twin Cities, the Mall of America. He said he is delighted that he is able to go back and visit these memorials. By the way, he's also done a book. This is really interesting. There's a book about his life. I love this. And the book is called, remember, his name is Roger Blessem. The name of the book is Count Your Blessems. So that's a great title. And how beautiful to see that he is being honored along with these others on the honor flight. I love those flights. They do amazing, amazing things for our veterans. And everybody, be sure to support America's military and first responder heroes. Donate just $11 a month to the great Tunnel to Towers Foundation. All you have to do is go online, check them out, do whatever you can to help this incredible organization. Go to T2T.org, T2T.org.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. It's The Rita Cosby Show.
And we are talking about two different systems of justice in America. Your thoughts about that? 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Hunter Biden, a no-show. And meantime, Peter Navarro is in prison for 4 months for not appearing before Congress. Hunter Biden, a no-show multiple times, and he gets pass after pass after pass. And also President Trump trying to figure out how he's going to cobble together $454 million because they want cash, not properties. So there's a lot at stake now and lots of legal wrangling against this president and others. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Stan real quick. Stan, I see you there. Go ahead, my friend.
It's telethon night on Rita Cosby. Come on, Norm, send him $50. Rita, drop a check for $500. He can use it. Mr. Casamatidis, write a check for $1,000.
What are you talking about,
idiot.
For Trump?
Hey, we're not done. All is for Trump. Come on, you people there. How about you, Pete? You take a bullet for this idiot. Send him a check, Pete.
So I guess, Stan. I guess, Stan, that means that you're not sending any money. Is that what you're trying
Blaze
to tell me?
You could send one. Matt Blaze, come on. You could do $50.
We'll get the entire place to chip in.
Wait,
Stan, you have to be honest that this is so over the top.
We're talking about
this
an
is
honest
so,
man.
This
Give
is so over
break.
The top. You think it's okay to seize his properties?
Absolutely.
Just because you don't like Trump.
Come up with the dojo.
Right. And you know what? Meantime today, all we heard was Tony Bobulinski saying he was there when Joe Biden came and over talked about business deals. Also, money going from one Biden family to another. I guess the grandkids really must have done a lot of business with these rogue business leaders and all these shell companies. None of those things look fishy whatsoever. I guess Hunter is just the smartest businessman in the entire world. Right, Stan? Right?